I want to thank every one of you that prayed for me. And I couldn't do this without God's grace and your prayers. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for this body of believers and how you've encouraged me and how my life's been transformed by Christ through a lot of you. And I just thank you for that. I'm going to just add one more prayer before I begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for giving your all, for giving your life for us. Father, we just pray that this message might come from you, and Lord, that I'd just be a vessel, Lord, to bring it forth. So, Father, give me words. Speak through me, and Lord, speak to each heart here, Father. And I ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The pastor, he called me earlier this week, and he said he was praying, and he said he loved me, and that was important to me. You know, I grew up with not hearing that a lot, and it's hard sometimes, you know, and it's like so good to hear someone say, I love you. So I'm just thankful for a pastor. And I just want you all to be continually praying for him. And each one that teaches, that leads, that does anything for the Lord, because they need that daily. And we all need it daily. So just lift up the pastor, because it's hard to come up here every week and have a message for you. Just this message, Randy will tell you, and Steve would also tell you, just getting this message together just takes almost your whole being. And so pray for him, because he needs it. And the text we were going to look at today is Romans 12, 1 and 2. But before we get to that verse, I want you to turn to Titus. Chapter 3, verse 5. Now the works of righteousness, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And last week Randy brought forth the message, you know, we need to be born again. We need to be saved by God's grace. We need God. There's nothing in that we could ever do to earn salvation. There's not anything we could do. But God is so rich in grace, sent Jesus Christ. That first part of that, there's two actions taking place in this verse. The first one is regeneration. So, you know, we couldn't have even come to God unless the Holy Spirit had drawn us to Christ, wooed us to Christ. So this is all God's work. We have nothing in it at all. It's God's grace. We only believe. And when we believe, so many great things happen. And this is, we can't learn everything in one sermon. We can't learn everything in one lifetime. How deep this salvation that he's given is. It's so deep. So he calls us to come and draw with joy from the waters, the well of salvation. So don't ever get tired of hearing the message. We need to hear it every day because we're so forgetful. But this second action is what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to go back to Romans chapter 12. Here's what William Newell says about regeneration. Here, the first action signifies the whole application to us of the redemption work of Christ, the loosening from our sins in his blood, and the imparting to us of Christ's risen life, so that we were made partakers of what we were made partakers of, what it is here called regeneration. So every believer has been regeneration. It says that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So God, through the sacrifice of Christ, when we believed, we were regenerated. We were made alive. We have new life in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit now dwelling in our hearts. Our spirit has been made alive. And it'll never die. Never. Because it's a work of God. And in the 2 Corinthians 2 and 5:17, it says, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Brand new creation. Something new. So in it's speaking about our spirit being regenerated. We are new. But there's more to salvation than just being made alive. Now, why did Christ make us alive? For a purpose, a great purpose. And in this verse, we're gonna look at. He says, I beseech you, or plead with you, or beg with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in this verse, God is asking us to do something. And it's almost an impossible thing for us to do. It's hard to give up yourself. We talked a little bit about it this morning. First, they had given themselves to God. And then they had given themselves to Paul. And then they had given to others. So what's happening here? He's pleading with us, though. Therefore, and I always remember Bill saying, when there's a therefore, it's there for a reason. It's therefore to look at all he's covered in these first chapters of Romans. And he wants us to look at the mercy that's been shown to us and poured upon us. I mean, he's made us a new living creation. He has justified us. And justified means that he has declared us righteous. You know, we're now righteous. The righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. So we have been declared righteous. Not that I always thought, well, when you come to Christ, everything's going to just boom, and you're going to live a righteous, holy life. Well, I'll tell you what, the moment I was kind of disappointed, because, you know, it's like, wow, did something not take here, you know? Because I was the same old person I was before I had received Christ. But that is so true, because we weren't made righteous. We were just declared. And God had the right to declare us righteous because of what Christ had done. He bore away our sin. He did all. And God has the right to call us righteous because we have put our faith in that finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's it. So we're declared righteous. That's one of the great things that have happened to us. But so many more. I mean, if you read these scriptures, there's so many great and precious promises and blessings. I mean, you've been saved from the wrath of God, the wrath to come. You've been made a new creation in Christ. You've been, there's now no condemnation for you at all. None. You're justified. You're sanctified. And God speaks just like it's already happened. So in all reality, it has. But we need more. The salvation is bigger than just the making us alive. And this verse, to me, is showing me how we get there. and what we really need. And it says, offer your bodies. That body contains your renewed spirit. It contains your soul. It contains yourself. All your wills, all your desires, all your wishes. And he says, give me it. Ooh. That's a big step, isn't it? It's a big step. But then think of all those mercies that he's poured upon you. You know, he's asking you to live for him. He died for you. He laid it all out. He loved us with a perfect love. We had a, well, the thing didn't work right, but we had a video at prayer meeting. Sure, but you cannot, you know, you can't say Jesus didn't love me when you loved me at the cross. And he did. He loved us so much. And Paul's saying, hey, just look at what God's done for you. Are you willing to give that new life back to me? And, you know, the problem I think we have is that we're trying to live a Christian life in our old self. We're trying to do it in our own strength. And he's asking, hey, give me it. I'll renew it. I'll make it new. So God wants to do our inner work now. He's raised us to new life in Christ. Now he wants to renew our inward man, our mind, our soul, everything that we are. He wants to take it, and he wants to renew it. It says there, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To be conformed to the world, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, and it says here, and you, this is Paul speaking, and you have he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now is working in the children of disobedience, or children of unbelief, among whom also we all had our manner of life, conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we come, each one of us, out of a world that we were controlled by Satan himself. And our desires, our inner man was totally given to him. I mean, if I look on back on my life, I was just totally given over to sin. I mean, there was no good at all in me. And so when God calls us, he says, don't continue on in that world. Come to me. Give me your, I'll renew it. I'll do a work in you. And like I said, some of us have a lot more work to be done than others. You know, and when I was doing this, I'm thinking about Lazarus. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. You know, and he come forth, but how did he come forth? What was he entangled in? He was wrapped. He had to hop out of that tomb. And he hopped out. And, you know, I can just see that. I mean, people must have just been in awe. I mean, it was like, wow, what's happening here, you know? Instead of going and untying them, Jesus had to say, hey, loose them and let them go. So we come to this new faith with all that back garbage on us. You know, that old way of thinking, the old pleasures that we sought after. And so God tells us, he says, don't continue that way no more. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God wants to begin to renew your mind. And it's not an instant transformation. I mean, it doesn't happen in one day or one second or one lifetime. It's a continual thing. And Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, and He's renewing our minds. And He's renewing our minds for that purpose, that we might prove, not that we might just know God's will, but that we might experience God's will, that new will He wants to give us, that new self, that new life. I mean, it's like He wants to renew our mind, the Holy Spirit. And that work He's willing to do if we're willing to come. If we're willing to give that self over and let the Holy Spirit renew. And I know it's a hard, hard thing to do, because we are so self-centered, so selfish, and we're still carrying that around. But the good thing is we have a new regenerated spirit. And that spirit is wrestling with that old self all the time. You know, it says the flesh lusts against spirit and spirits. Their desires are totally opposite, so they're always fighting. You know, that's why a lot of times we're struggling so, because there's a battle going on in our hearts and minds. But Thayer says this about renewing. It says, the word for renew is only used by Paul. It means to grow up new, like foliage in the spring. Man's spirit, having already been created anew and joined to the Lord and witnessed to and cared for by the Holy Spirit, man's soul facilities are now to be taken over by the same blessed Spirit, so that the whole mind and the disposition and taste of the man will become conformed to the fact that he is a new creation in Christ. And we can't figure that out with our little minds. We need that mind to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, we're never going to enter into a real joyful life until we yield this all over to Him and say, take it, Lord, and make it thine. And create in me this, renew this mind that I might, Marilyn says it all the time, we need to appropriate the things we have. But I tell you what, if we don't know what they are, we can't appropriate, we can't take possession of them, unless our minds have come to understand by this new renewing of the Holy Spirit what God has for us. And He has much more than we could even imagine. I mean, we settle for scraps when we could be walking tall. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go on in just this everyday routine lifestyle. I want more. And if you're like me, you're hungry and you're thirsty. And that's what God's telling us. He said, hey, if you're hungry, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. And He'll give us more than we could even imagine or think. One of Sharon's favorite verses. More than we could even imagine or think. You know, I think we're scared to give up our self-will because we think maybe, because we really don't know. It's kind of scary to go into another's will, to let God take us over totally and to start living in and not through us. But I was looking in, Randy, he brought this up in Wednesday prayer meeting, and I'd already been thinking about it, so I said, the Lord must want this to be brought forth too. But if you look at Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. he says, Paul speaking, he says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's God's will for us. He wants to make us just like his son, Jesus. You look at Christ, he was, I think we have a false impression of Jesus. Because he wouldn't say this to rejoice if he wasn't a very rejoicing man. And these disciples, they've seen it. Full of grace and truth. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to fill us with his joy. I mean, how's your joy? I mean, we have moments of happiness at times, but that's not joy. Paul tells us, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice, because he had something to rejoice for. He had come to the conclusion that this salvation was true, and it was real, and it's in his life, and it was working in him, and he was just overflowing. Not only when things were good, but when the things were terribly bad. They were terribly bad for him, but he's still rejoicing. Him and Silas in prison, they're being beaten, and they come out singing. That's what I want to be like. I want to be rejoicing. And also prayer. Jesus prayed. Paul prayed. And he wants us to pray according to his will too. You know, in Ephesians it says, Acts 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And God wants to make us a praying people, and I believe we are. I believe that God has worked that. He's working that. But if we want to know the fullness, we need to, you know, we need to do what God says. We need to allow him to renew us and give us a new outlook and a new life, a new way of looking at things, a new self. And also thanksgiving. Now, and what we're going to do after this message is we're going to break bread. You know, and you remember that Jesus took the cup of the bread and he broke it and he raised it and said, thank you, Father. No, he's thanking him for it, that he's soon to be giving up that body. That's the kind of rejoicing we need. We don't need to be rejoicing when things are good. We need to be rejoicing when things are bad. And that's going to take a work of grace in our hearts and a willingness on our part, too. And as you're up here speaking, you get more thirsty because your mouth just dries right out. But that's how I feel in my soul. And I have. I'm not gonna ask you to do anything that I haven't done. Now, years ago I did. I said, Lord God, take me. Take all of me. And again I'm thinking, well, it's going to be an instant transformation. Nope. No way. But he's working. He's renewing my mind to see some great, great things and to take possession of them. Things I never knew. You know, Randy and I just read a great book in The Baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that book is powerful. It's powerful. And I don't want to go into detail on that. But God shows you these great truths. And boy, you just rejoice. I mean, it's like, wow. Wow. You know, Satan wants to knock it right out of you. But it's there. You know. But to make it short. The one thing we need to do is just offer ourselves back to God, back to the loving Heavenly Father that He is. And let Him renew us, make us new, not just in the spirit, but in our inner man, our souls. Because it says, how you think in your heart is how you are. What a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I'm sure God's already begun that transformation. He's beginning, you know, He's leading, He's directing. There is a mind that's directed towards God, but He wants it to be fully His, fully in His control. So, you know, it's just up to us. And we can say no. We can say no, God. I kind of enjoy my old life, but I think we're really going to lose. I forget who was it, Sanders, that said, we're hard to give over control. You know, we're hard to thing, but there's times when we really do need to give it over. And he talked about getting on an airplane where we can trust the pilot. You know, what would happen if we decided we want to fly that plane? What if we said to the pilot, we don't trust you enough, I want to fly it myself. Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? Yeah. It'd be a mess. Not only would we take ourselves down, we'd take everybody with us. And that's why another reason we need to be transformed. Because our families need to see it, our friends need to see it, and we need it in our own congregation. Randy and I were talking this morning about the prayer. Do we really pray the way we should? Are we committed to prayer? And I think this is what God wants to do. He wants to give us that new will that'll center on an unceasing prayer, just a reaching out to God constantly. Instead of all our thoughts falling on our own little affairs and selves and everything else that we count important. So I'm just going to end that there with a prayer, and I just thank you for listening to me, and just pray that God, I know that maybe a lot of this you'll forget, but God will bring it back. He don't quit. But if just one more closer step to the well and to draw some water, if what I said pushes you that way, then that's great. That's enough, because I know when you go to that well, you're going to be filled. Your thirst is going to be quenched. You're going to be rejoicing. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your grace. Lord, we can't even comprehend it, Father. Lord, we do, Lord, just give everything to you, Lord, and ask that you would just take it, renew it, and, Father, use it however you would see fit. Live your will through us, Father. Lord, let us be little Christ. You called us for no other purpose, Father, than to be a witness for you. And Father, we just thank you, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.